Sunday night. That's right. It's time to rock and roll Totally Driven Style. Bay Ragney here, and I'm ready to bring to you my Michael Sweet special, or my Michael Sweet slash Striper special, whichever you prefer. We're going to give you the best of both worlds. I got to talk to Michael Sweet the other day, and Michael is truly one of my favorite guests. He always answers so honestly from the heart and speaks the truth. And I a lot of times I'm doing these interviews and I know I'm getting like politically correct answers, or, you know, the answers that people are expected to say. And I know I'd like to hear more. Michael gives you that. He gives you more. He gives you the truth and honesty. And, like I said, from the heart. So I have an interview to play with Michael. It's about a 40-minute long interview. But also, too, I want to share a lot of Michael Sweet music, Sweet Lynch music. I want to share also Striper music. There's so much Michael has shared with us, so I want to share it all with you. And he discusses all this and more in this interview. It was a really great interview. It was a great conversation. So I hope everybody stay tuned for the whole thing. I hope everybody rocks you out for the whole thing. And I hope everybody, enjoys it, bottom line. But before I get into the music, the interview and all that, I do want to apologize. I know I'll have a lot of my Sunday night listeners who usually tune in, and I'm doing a normal, format show, which I've done for the last couple years now, where it's usually, a three-hour-long show, and I'm playing the best of new music or old music or my favorite music or your request or whatever, and I just have not been able to do that the past couple weeks. Things have just been so crazy here between, taping interviews and putting shows together, and honestly, to put together a three-hour show takes me at least 6 hours to do. And I just haven't had the time, and there's just some days I just don't feel good, and I'm sorry about that. So I do apologize. I plan to get back to my regular format in 2018. But in two weeks from tonight, we will be doing my countdown of top 25 songs of the year. So make sure you tune in for that. But until we get there, I have interviews to share with you. I have more interviews I'm taping this week. So enjoy the interviews, enjoy the music, and let's do this. Let's kick it off. Michael Sweet from the Sweet Lynch album that just came out a couple weeks ago. The album just came out a few weeks ago. It's called Unified. And this song and video just came out as a single a couple weeks ago as well. And this is called Walk.
out.
Tenorio Rocks, Bay Ragney here, and that was Solo and Michael Sweet with Bizarre. Before that, we did a couple more of Sweet Lynch from their first album. That was Wish and Like a Dying Rose. Before that, some more Solo Michael Sweet, Radio, which is a tune I just love. And we kicked it off with the latest from Sweet and Lynch called Walk. Make sure you check out that video. We discussed the video in the interview that I'm going to be playing in a couple minutes. It's just a fun time, a fun video. So before I do play this interview though, please just bear with me. I need to pay my bills. I need to keep this music going, keep these shows going, keep this network going. I got to play my commercial block. It's 3 minutes long. It's all I ask. Stick with me for 3 minutes. On the flip side, coming back, I'm going to go right into the Michael Sweet interview. So stay tuned and check this guy out. He's freaking hysterical. He's a supporter, a sponsor, a good friend of Totally Driven Entertainment, and he's a comedian. Not only is he a comedian, he's a funny guy, and he's a superhero. He's known as Black Man. Check him out, ChrisFraleyPresents.com. It's Chris, FraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin on the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
There he is, Mr. Michael Sweet.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good, man. How you been? It's been a while.
It has. I'm doing good. I'm just recuperating from the past year. Like everyone else, it seems everyone's had a pretty crazy busy year.
Yeah, it seems like yours has been, yours is always busy, crazy, but it's been a little stressful this year, too.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on. But, you know, it's the end of the year, and we're stepping into a new one, 2018, and, you know, we're positive, and there's good things to come for sure.
Nice. So now, like, when a situation like that happens where you're going through a situation like you did with Tim and it's causing stress and all, and, you know, you just don't have the Striper world. You have all your different worlds. You have, you know, Lynch and Sweet with George. You have your solo stuff. Does it affect all different angles, including family life at home?
Well, sure, because, you know, we're so involved in the band. It's not just a weekend warrior kind of thing. It's a daily, year-round thing. And my wife, you know, manages the band and, you know, helps with coordinating everything and budgets and whatnot. So she's in it just as much as I am. So, yeah, it absolutely. When you're dealing with, you know, the only way I could put it, when you're dealing with, I guess, drama is
yeah.
the best word for it. We all know how that goes in our own personal lives, and because we all face drama and deal with drama, and it's never fun.
Sure.
And we want it to be a drama-free life and drama-free world, but that's not reality. But when you're in it thick and thin and you're dealing with it, it sometimes just outright sucks. And
yeah.
And there's not much you can do other than to just grin and get through it and smile big and know that there's hope coming around the corner.
Does the drama help you make more beautiful music?
I don't know about more beautiful music, but certainly more interesting music. You know, because I write from experience a lot, and when I'm going through something heavy or personal, a lot of times I'll write about that. You know, and that's how I write songs and lyrics, especially, and it makes for the tone of whatever it is I'm working on at the time. You know, so the lyrics might take a little bit of a darker turn, or the music might take a little bit of a darker turn. But
right.
I think in the end, it's all good stuff. That's what I feed off of, and what I'm inspired by is real life experiences.
Nice. Now, did your phone, like when the word was out that Tim was out, before you guys got Perry into the group, was your phone, does some of it just start like ringing off the hook like crazy, people wanting to be in the band?
It didn't. I mean, we started getting a lot of private messages and emails and forwards and things like that. But, you know, I try not to give my phone number out to too many people. Enough people have it already, and it is ringing constantly, so I have to silence it. But, you know, no, it wasn't so bad in that regard. There were a lot of people, many people, who wanted to play bass for Striper, and that was, in a good way, overwhelming. I mean, seeing all the private messages and direct messages and emails, and it's like, wow. And we didn't even put the official word out and start seeking out on social media a bass player.
Right.
You know, and it just kind of took off on its own. But we kind of knew, you know, early on we had someone in mind. And then when we found out about Perry, we knew he was the guy. Once we met with him and flew him out and played with him, we knew, okay, this is the guy. So, you know, it was never in the back of our mind like, you know, let's audition 100 people or 200 people like most bands do.
Right. Well, that's good. You didn't have to go through that whole process. It's not like you have the time because you're doing so much already.
Yeah, and, you know, I always thought that process is kind of crazy, you know. I guess if you have to do it, you have to do it. But if you have someone in mind, why not just go with that? You know, if there's someone
right.
that you just love and You know, they come in and they fill the room with joy and kind of light the room up, and then you hear them sing and play, and they're great. It's like, well we gotta go through 100 more people, then we'll get back to you. It's like, well, that's just dumb.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's a waste of everybody's time.
like what Stone Temple Pilots did. They listened to, 10,000 tapes or something like that. I can't imagine that.
God bless him, man. I just think that's insane. And not the way Stryper would want to ever do it or would ever do it. It's just silly. I mean, you know, we know musicians. I know people. And, you know, they're my go-to guys. You know, when I do solo albums, when I do Sweet Lynch, when I do Stryper, obviously Robert is our drummer. When I do Sweet Lynch, you know, Brian Tichy is the go-to guy. When I do solo stuff, I'll use Will Hunt, who I love. It's not like I got to audition 100 guys or go through 10,000 tapes. I just think that's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening to even think.
It really is. And, again, God bless those guys. That must have been a real task and some seriously hard work. And, you know, they could have saved themselves a lot of time and effort and frustration if they had just called this guy named Michael Sweet, you know?
There you go. There you go.
Of course, I'm kidding. Please, nobody reading that, take it serious. Blabbermouth, don't post that as a you know, as bait. You know, please. Okay.
Too funny. Yeah. As much as I love Blabbermouth, I always tell everybody, just don't read the comments. Just read the news and don't read the comments.
Yeah, it's funny about Blabbermouth. I guess you got to have stuff like that. You know, Blabbermouth reminds me of the TMZ. It's the TMZ of heavy metal, you know. And
yeah.
It's all just, you can believe it if you want. If that's your life, and then you live for that. And you don't just live for reading the comments and the headlines, but you actually believe it. Or if you don't believe it, your goal is to just go on there and in your mommy's basement on your computer that mommy bought you and make all these ridiculous cliche comments about everything they post. And I find myself going into Blabbermouth and reading stuff and just shaking my head thinking, this is sad, you know?
Yeah.
It really is. It's pretty pathetic. But, you know, hey, if you got legitimate sources, you got to have those kind of smut sources too, and that's just the way it works.
Right. You know, actually, I'm kind of glad. We were supposed to do this the other day, and it got pushed to today, and I'm kind of glad because there was a story that actually popped up on Blabbermouth. It was either yesterday or the day before, and it made me think, like, oh, was this what Michael was talking about? Because I guess it was maybe, like, when we talked at 1.2 years ago, maybe it was for the first Sweet Lynch album.
Right.
You talked about you guys were talking about you and George and the other docking guys about maybe you fronting a new band with those guys. And now it came out that Robert Mason's going to be doing it.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know for a fact that the version that Robert Mason is doing, which is the same lineup, but with a different name. I don't know if that's the same thing I was going to be doing with them. But I was literally, you know, I was asked by George to do it. And I agreed. And then I had a phone conversation with Jeff Pilsen. And I was asked by Jeff to do it. And I said, yeah, cool, let's do it. And
nice.
This was a few years back. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm very busy. They're very busy. But I've reached out a few times and just said, so any word? You know, anything going on? And haven't really got any sort of an answer. And then I read the news like everybody else that, you know, they're doing this thing with Robert Mason. And I think that's great. I do wish them all well. It's going to be awesome. But I am kind of scratching my head a little bit thinking, okay.
What happened?
Yeah, that's interesting. you know, and if I talk about it, you know, I'm a whiner and I'm a complainer and I'm a, you know, I'm a sore loser, and it's not that at all.
Right.
Not at all. Trust me. It's really not. I mean, quite frankly, even if they had, called me 2 months ago or 3 months ago and said, so you want to do this? I would have had to say no, because I'm recording a new Striper album right now, and we're going to tour extensively next year.
Oh,
so
nice.
I wouldn't have the time. I would just say, man, I got to pass now, you know? But back when they were considering doing it and talking to me about doing it, yeah, I would have loved to. It would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But we have Striper to worry about, and we have Sweet Lynch, and we have Michael Solo, so we have plenty of music coming from you, so it's all good.
Yeah, and I try not to spread myself too thin. You know, some people think I do, but when you compare me to, you know, guys like George and whatnot, you know, George releases, you know, maybe even 3 and 4 projects a year. I release 1 a year, sometimes 2 a year, but that's rare. But I really try hard not to spread myself too thin and take on too much, because then what happens is you start diluting the effectiveness and the, you know, the quality of a particular project. You know, if you're
right.
If you're rushing through it, or you're throwing it together too quickly and stuff, fans are going to start to hear that, and it's going to become a problem and not be good for everyone.
That's true. Now, with the latest Sweet Lynch album, Unified,
right?
Was there anything, like, did you guys approach this one differently than the first one, since you guys had actually worked together already?
Well, you know, it was definitely a project where, you know, the story is Serafino reached out to me and wanted to do a project with me singing with John Levin, who plays guitar for Don Dawkins.
Okay.
And then I suggested George. They loved it, and it just started snowballing from there. And then I brought in Brian. I brought in James. And we just kind of winged it and put everything together, and not really having everything planned out. This album was a little bit more planned out. You know, there's something to be said, though, for just random, sporadic projects, you know, ones that you don't have on paper. That's what the first album was. This second album was more on paper and more thought out, planned out, discussed, and whatnot. And, you know, it's apples and oranges, good and bad, to both
right.
ways of doing it. But, you know, the Sweet Lynch thing, man, I look at it this way. I made a comment on my Twitter and my Facebook that it was a bucket list item of mine that I got to scratch off. I got to play with George. Something I always wanted to do. I don't know that there are going to be more Sweet Lynch albums. I hope there are going to be, but I don't know realistically if there are going to be. You know, George is a very busy guy, and like I said, he takes on a lot of stuff. He's got a lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
And you never know. There might be more. The problem is, just as the fans would probably say the same thing, I don't want to do it and continue doing it if we're never going to tour.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just kind of silly, you know?
Yeah, like, I personally, like, and I say this to a lot of people, too, like, who do situations like that where they'll record this album where you're teamed up with this other person, and it was just meant to be that, like a musical project, not an actual touring project or any live shows. And I would, like,
right.
I know when I would play in a band and we would come up with new music, I was like, oh, I can't wait to play it in front of people to get reaction and feedback. And,
right.
And I would go
right.
nuts.
Absolutely. And believe me, we've talked about it quite a few times. And I've called George, and then I've called my agent, who just so happens to be our agent. George has the same agent, Lynch Mob.
Okay.
And I feel like it'd be a real easy thing to do.
Sure.
Not difficult, but for whatever reason, it's turned into a difficult thing and just never seems to work out for whatever reason. And I'm just thinking, this is just ludicrous. It's crazy to me, because the fans want to hear Sweet and Lynch. Nothing against Lynch Mob.
Right.
I think they're great, but I think the fans want to hear the Sweet and Lynch stuff live just as much as they do Lynch Mob.
Sure.
And maybe I'm stretching that out. I don't know. But I think that people want to hear these songs and see this lineup. That's a great lineup. James, Brian, George, and myself, and it would be killer. And I know people would come out and see that, and it's very exciting. It'd be a very exciting show, but it just never seems to materialize. And I'm just thinking, well, okay, maybe it's just not meant to be.
Wow. And you know, it's funny because you guys just put out recently the video for Walk, and you know, you guys filmed it out in L.A., and you're on the streets, you're in Amoeba Records, and it looked like you guys had such a good time.
We had a blast. We had an absolute blast, and all the more reason why I can't figure out why we just can't seem to go out there and do some shows. And even one-offs seem to be a problem. You know, like doing a show on Monsters of Rock Cruise. You know, George is going to be there. I'm going to be there. They were there last time. We were there last time. And, you know, it's suggested, and it just never happens. And it's like, well, why?
Right.
It makes no sense. There's got to be other reasons why that I'm unfamiliar with.
All right, so I don't feel as bad now. So myself and the fans are all scratching our head, and it seems like you are too.
I am big time. And it not happening is not due to my uninvolvement. I've been very involved in trying to make it happen and a champion of pushing that along. And, you know, I can only do so much, you know?
Right. And the one thing, too, with this album that I really noticed, and I was going through, like, watching all the EPK videos that you guys put out from the studio. And the one thing that really kept standing out in my mind as I'm watching these is it was showing not only, like, the music and you guys and the band, but it was showing you as a producer a lot and how much you truly enjoy that.
I do. I've never really got recognition as a producer, and you know, you can't force that. It's either going to happen or it's not going to happen. I've produced a lot of stuff over the years, and you know, really, certainly at the very least, co-produced all the Stryper albums.
Right.
You know, you take for example like Soldiers Under Command. Michael Wagner produced that. And Michael brought a lot to the table. He's legendary, and he's great. But, you know, we walked into that album with all the songs written, all the songs arranged, all the parts worked out. We didn't change a thing. We were out playing those songs live, and we went in and re-recorded those songs that we were playing live for a year. And Michael just grinned and said, "That's great, perfect." And I think he was astonished at the fact that we were so prepared and that we did have so much involvement in the production sense. So these albums are really co-produced by myself and by the band. And I've been in the studio since I was 12 years old. My dad's a recording artist and a singer-songwriter. Mike Curb used to manage my dad and mom. He had a deal with RCA for a while. He wrote a number one country song with Fred Imus, Don's brother. And I grew up in a studio, man. I was in studios when I was, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, and learning about the gear and recording and everything. So I've been in it my whole life. I'm a producer, and I've been a producer my whole life. And it's still at the age of 54, I'll be 55 in July. Still at this time in my life, you know, I don't think people view me as a producer. They kind of view me as that singer from Stryper, you know?
Right. Do you think you can see yourself maybe in the future slowing down on the music performing end and doing more producing?
I would love to. The problem is this music world we live in and the business itself, it's struggling. You know, I'm not going to go in. I argue with Frontiers Records often. I love Frontiers. I've done many albums with them. They've asked me to come on board and be an in-house producer and a talent scout. And, you know, I unfortunately the money just wasn't enough to make me say yes.
Gotcha.
Because I'm not going to invest my blood, sweat, and tears in 3 months of my life on every album to walk away with $5,000 to put in my account, you know?
Yeah.
I can't do it. I can't afford to do that. So, and sadly, there's not enough money in the music business for bands like myself and artists like myself to make that a reality. But between Striper and myself, solo, and Sweet and Lynch, and a few other projects I have in the works, you know, I've been very blessed to be able to work with Frontiers and Rat Pack Records on a solo deal, and a few other labels that have expressed interest in working with me and whatnot. And I've been able to kind of survive and rise to the top and still do what I do without compromise. So I'm really fortunate in that way.
Nice. Now, something else, too, that you're working on, actually it's coming out in a couple weeks, is a solo DVD.
You know, that was just one of those things that it came to be. A really incredibly talented director, film producer by the name of Andrew Joyce. He put together the video that started the Striper shows on the To Hell with the Devil tour last year.
Okay.
And he did such an amazing job that we wanted to work with him in other areas, and he wound up coming out and shooting a solo show of mine, and then we decided to offer it as a DVD, and we kind of did that together. That's really cool. And then also, we've hired him to do the Striper documentary.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And that's been long overdue, but we started on that. It won't be finished for a couple of years. But, man, that's going to be absolutely insane when it's done. Because this kid, he's 26 years old. He is so talented, and he puts so much into it. And when you watch it, you really see that. He's a gift. He's a true godsend. And, you know, we feel that God sends these people into our lives. And, you know, he's just a cut above. When you see this documentary, when you look at it and you compare it to other documentaries, I guarantee you, you'll say, wow. Because he's just that good.
You guys have a lot of ground to cover.
We've got a lot of ground. Yeah, and we're not going to so much focus on the negative. And believe me, there's been a lot. You know, we have good and bad in our camp, like any other band. But
sure.
It's more about the history of the band. And, you know, we're going to focus on, like, interviewing people whose lives have been changed because of the band. You know,
nice.
Former alcoholics and drug addicts and people that are pastors now and things like that. It's just going to be one of those things where I think everyone's going to watch it and say, wow, I had no idea. This is
sure.
crazy.
Did you ever think of that? I mean, like, probably not even getting into music as a child, but over the years, how much your music has meant to people and how it's affected people over the years?
You know, I do realize it when I meet people that are, you know, people that I would least expect to tell me their story. And tell me that they were touched and moved and changed because of Striper. And I'm talking about, like, you know, we go out and we travel and, you know, I'll meet a Satanist, and, like a real deal Satanist. And they're head of a chapter in that town. And it's the real deal. And you're just sitting there looking at them thinking, wow, this is heavy stuff. And then
right.
they tell me, yeah, I'm a huge Striper fan. I love Striper. They're my favorite band. And you know, and they're in the front row singing every song. Now, you know, it's a contradiction. You think, how is that possible? It'd be like Michael Sweet going to a Slayer show and singing the words to every song. Well, Slayer's old news in terms of a dark metal band, but pick any metal band, pick some band from Europe, from Finland or something that's hardcore Satanist, dark metal, black metal. And it'd be like Michael Sweet going to one of their shows and singing the words every song. People would say, what? It doesn't really make sense, but yet it does, because we're all touched by music. We're all affected by music. And when these people, Satanists, come, or Muslims, we went and performed in Jakarta to, you know, like 5,000 or 6,000 Muslims, and they were, you know, applauding and screaming and singing the songs. And you know, when we go to Japan and we're playing to primarily Buddhist, you know, we're a Christian band singing about God, but yet they love Stryper and they love what we do because they love the music. You know, we hope that the message sinks in and takes root. But at the end of the day, just the fact that they're there is a pretty big step for all mankind. And
sure,
it's pretty cool,
sure.
Man. It's pretty cool.
You know, it's funny. I wanted to ask you that, too. Going back to the Walk video, going through Amoeba Records, I was thinking to myself, so when Michael's not writing music, what is he listening to? Like, did you walk in the store or walk out of the store, I should say, and buy any music while you were there?
I did. I bought some music. I think I bought a Muse disc, and I bought an old vinyl album. I'm trying to recall what it was. George bought quite a few. He bought some old vinyl albums, vinyl records, and some really eclectic stuff, you know, and were very cool. But, you know, believe it or not, I'll be honest, man, I don't listen to music that often. Only time I listen to music is when I'm driving on a long drive or if I'm flying on a long flight.
Right.
But at home, I mean, when we're going to have people over, we'll turn on something, we'll put some jazz on or something that's real easy listening or whatnot. But I don't listen to metal. I mean, I didn't back in the 80s.
Right.
You know, I in the 70s I did. I listened to Priest and Iron Maiden and, you know, in the 70s and early 80s. But as Stryper became bigger and more popular, I listened to less and less music, I guess because I was performing it every night and writing it every day. So I don't listen to a lot of music, man.
Wow. I was wondering if you had any thoughts, if you've checked out at all the band Ghost.
You know what? I don't. I mean, I've heard all sorts of things about them. I've listened to little pieces of their music. I don't get the... I don't really get the excitement or the allure. I've heard them, and people
right.
talk about them. People talk about them like they're the most creative, most incredible thing to come along in a long, long time. And sometimes I feel like I'm really either really old or from another planet. because I'm just not getting it. I'm sorry,
right.
but I'm not. I mean, I they're good, you know, but when I think of bands, rock bands that changed music, you know, I think of bands that have the talent and have the energy and the power. You know, I think of Van Halen.
Right.
Van Halen 1. That was music world changing. You
right.
know, and there aren't very many bands that have done that over the years.
True.
But what do you think of Ghost?
Actually, I really enjoy them. I really like them a lot.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, so do my daughters. I have a 20-year-old and a 13-year-old, and
yeah.
I've taken them to see Ghost 3 times. And as a matter of fact, at dinner last night, my older daughter was asking again, "When are they coming back? When are they coming back?"
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, now see, and I think that's great. And when a band or music from a band, you know, reaches out to people like that and makes them want to get involved in music and see music and hear music and it has that effect on them, I think it's awesome. It just hasn't had that effect on me.
Right. Nah, hey, I get it, because there's a lot of stuff out there. I say the same thing to myself. Like, am I that old, or am I just missing the boat?
Yeah, it, trust me. A band that had that effect on me that made me go, whoa, who's that? I want to hear more.
Yeah,
was Muse.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's what I'm talking about. That's exciting talent, like who are these guys? You know, those are the kinds of bands, newer bands that come along and make Michael Sweet go, wow.
Nice. That's good, though. That's good that there's still music out there making you go, wow.
Oh, God, of course. Absolutely there is. And then sometimes I hear old school albums that make me go, wow, too. Old school bands, I should say, who are still releasing music that make me go, wow, this is really good. I just listened and played some of the new L.A. Gun stuff for Robin Oz when they were out here 4 or 5 weeks ago. We were listening to it because I really like that album. I think they released a great album. And they loved it, too. It's exciting. It's produced well.
It is a great album. Yeah.
It's got fire to it, you know, and that puts a smile on my face to know that there are bands from our genre who are still releasing great stuff.
Nice. Yeah, it is a great album.
Yeah.
Cool. So now you're also doing a I guess this is your like your yearly thing you do now, the Michael Sweet Christmas?
It is. It's an annual thing. I missed last year due to some other schedule conflicts, but try to make it an annual thing. This will be my fourth time.
Okay.
And it's in my hometown. Well, let me rephrase that. Not my hometown. It's in the town I live in, Plymouth, Mass. And it's just a really cool place, man. It's an old church. It dates back, you know, way, way, way back. It's like a landmark for sure, and a place that people go when they come to Plymouth, they go see and whatnot. And I'm going to be performing there. It's just a great place, and we're going to be celebrating Christmas. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I'm going to be doing a lot of Christmas songs and some Striper tunes and solo tunes and seeing a lot of people. We got people flying in. And it's exciting, man. It's just it's more of like a family reunion than it is a show.
That sounds awesome.
Now, it is.
I know you did. I know you did the like a short, small little acoustic tour. Would you be doing in the future? Think about doing more of that? I mean, it sounds like an amazing time.
You know what it is? I love it because it's when you go out with a big group of people and you've got, you know, 10 people or 12 people and you're on a bus and you're flying and you're trying to coordinate, you know, 30 or 40 shows, and it can become very, very stressful and just kind of a blur and so much going on. But when I go out and I do these solo shows, it's very low key. And, you know, it's just a completely different world. And I like that world too.
Nice.
I like the other world. There's something to be said for that, but I also like to wind down and just go out, take my acoustic, get on a plane, go fly, perform, come home. And there's something really cool about that. So I try to do, on a yearly basis, anywhere between like 20 and 30 acoustic shows.
Oh, nice.
And I love
doing it. Well, you got to get Philly on that list.
What's that?
You have to get Philly on that list.
Oh, man, tell me about it. I think Philly's one of those towns where it's even Striper doesn't even visit Philly every year. I know. And I don't know why. There are certain complications with certain areas that kind of roadblock what we're trying to do. And sadly, because of lack of venue or lack of buyers or for whatever reason, it makes it difficult for us to go to certain areas as much as we would like to.
Right.
But we'll work on that. We will work hard on that.
Awesome. I expect to see 2018 Striper in the Philadelphia area. I think you guys played, what was it, Reading, which was about an hour away.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, what are some great venues, you know, club, nice high-end club venues, 750 to 1,200 capacity in Philly?
Let's see. The TLA on South Street.
Yep.
The Trocadero, which is in Chinatown, which is about 5 minutes away from South Street.
Okay.
They're probably the two biggest options. There's a place, but it's not, it's actually smaller. It's called the Sellersville Theater, where a lot of bands have been coming to as of late.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I think it holds about 300 to 400. It's an old theater, but a lot of bands in the area come through there.
Now,
like
see,
White,
those are the size venues. Those are the size venues I've been doing on my acoustic run.
Yeah,
I'm doing like 200 to 400 capacity venues, and then when Striper plays, it's usually in that 700 to 1200 range.
Yeah, that's the bad part about Philly, because there's more of those clubs like in Reading or in Lancaster that are more accommodating for that.
Right.
And draw better. And actually, the thing I'm seeing in Philly now, and I was just talking to one of the PR people I deal with the other day, and we were BSing, and I was saying, you know, the thing, what's going on now is you're seeing a lot of either these style bands or even with the local bands. There's not much of a market in Philly, and they're all playing on the same night. And it's the small crowd that you have to choose from. It's splitting and dividing it because they're being split to 2 to 3 different shows in one night, and nobody's getting a full Philly crowd.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Well, it's tough, and it's not just Philly. There's a few other markets that are that way for us, too, and it's hard to get into for whatever reason. You know what, believe it or not, seems difficult now is the Boston area, and that was never an issue for us. But
really?
a few venues have closed down. House of Blues is a larger House of Blues capacity wise. I think it's up in the 1800 range or 2000 range. So that's a little on the big side. There's a place called Showcase Live that's like private events now, so it makes it difficult for us to book a gig in Boston, which is where I live. You know?
Right. Wow.
Crazy.
Wow. Yeah, it's not even just with the record sales, it's with the buildings and touring. The whole music business is just crazy right now.
I know. It's different. It's a different world, and you got to be very creative and smart and figure out ways to get around it. And we've been able to do that. Striper's still going, and there's no plans of slowing down or stopping.
Nice.
And, you know, maybe we'll have to someday. I don't know. We'll see. But, man, we're very happy and very blessed and thankful to still be doing it.
Well, so am I. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that are very thankful too.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, we're always going to give our all and give our best. And, you know, that's just the way we do things around here. And we're excited to keep doing it, man. Hopefully for another, I think 33 years would be stretching it. But if we could go another 10 years or 15 years, we'd be very fortunate. Very blessed.
There you go. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, man.
Cool. So, all right. So, where should we send everybody to keep up to date and get all this music that you're putting out?
Well, they can always go to the Facebook pages, Striper Facebook, the Michael Sweet Facebook, and then we've got the Twitter, Striper on Twitter, and Michael Sweet Striper on Twitter. And you know, I'm very active on both, and I'm always updating and you know, giving people details of what's going on, and you can count on that from me every day. And, you know, that's where they get all the latest info. And then we have the web pages as well, websites, striper.com and michaelsweet.com.
You know, that reminds me, that was something you guys did, which I thought was kind of ballsy too. You guys did a Facebook Live, Striper did, right after the whole situation. And I was like, ooh, like, That must have been scary because, you know, it like them blabbermouth people making comments. You never know what could be popping up on there.
Yeah, it's funny, man. But, you know, Striper, we're a band comprised of the way we think is bring it. You know, we grew up in tough neighborhoods, man. We're a lot tougher than people think, you know. And it takes a lot to shake us. And, you know, we don't shake easily, man. So we didn't even think about that. We just thought, let's do it. <You know? laughs>
See, that's the first thing I thought of. I was just like, wow. Like, I was just like, yeah, I was impressed. I really was.
Well, hey, man, again, we've been on stages where food and chains and bottles were being thrown at us in front of a crowd that, you know, was getting ready to see all black metal bands, and here we are put on the bill. I will be honest and tell you that we wanted to kill our agent, but we've done it. We've done that kind of stuff,
right.
and things that most bands probably wouldn't do. And we've done it. We've been there and done it. And you know, it just takes a lot more than that to stop us or to scare us or slow us down. So yeah, we'll keep doing that, man. We'll keep rolling up the sleeves and duking it out.
Nice. Well, Michael, I want to thank you. As always, it's always a great conversation. Good luck again with everything that you got going on. And hopefully I get to see you in Philly in 2018. And hoping to get to talk to you again in 2018.
Absolutely, man. We'll be talking again for sure because there's a lot on the horizon. And I appreciate your support and you taking out, you know, time from your day to talk to me. It means the world.
Back at you, my friend. Have a good Christmas and all, and happy 2018 to you.
Okay, buddy. God bless, man. Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care.
Nothing left.
Welcome back to Dirty Rocks. There you go. A block of Striper music and our Michael Sweet interview. We just did Soldiers Under Command, the classic. Before that, we did To Hell with the Devil, Sympathy, Fallen, and Pride. Great stuff. Some newer stuff, some older stuff, some classic stuff. We did it all. So there you go. There's our Michael Sweet / Striper special. Thanks again to Michael. Always a pleasure. Thanks for everybody for tuning in, checking it out. Thank you for your support. Make sure you check us out all over the world of social media. Look for Totally Driven Entertainment or Totally Driven Radio. Just go Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Look for either, or look for myself, Bay Ragney. And you can follow me, you can like me, you can love me. Or you can send me a request when you want me to play some music for you. Always open to some requests. Always enjoy to hear requests, I'll tell you that much. And actually, it's almost over. The Best of Philly contest is almost over. So you can go to philly.cityvoter.com. That's philly.cityvoter.com. And just go in the search bar and type in my name, Bay Ragney, and vote for me. Best Radio Personality Philadelphia. The voting ends midnight tonight, so please vote, please vote, please vote. Be much appreciated. Until next time, we'll be back. I might have another show before Thursday, but if not, tune in Thursday night. For all you Power Ranger fans or Stuck in the Middle fans, we have actress Serena Vincent. And from the TV show Major Crimes, we have Philip P. Keane. And again, check us out, Totally Driven Entertainment. Until next time, stay driven, everybody. Be safe, and see ya.